Luke's Gospel, page 1262, Luke 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't think the Lord was just saying something pleasant. I think he meant what he said. Peter said, "If you'd known, you wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." But it did. It's an amazing prayer that, from the Son to the Father. "Father, forgive them." That's what God had in mind to do anyway, to forgive. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord says, "Forgive them, because they know not what they do." We would say they do know what they do, but the Lord's words are final. They do not know what they do. And God is prepared to forgive everyone who puts their trust in Jesus, as if they did not know. Or you say, those who crucified the Lord knew what they were doing. Well, it appeared so, but the Lord says they didn't know. And Peter says they didn't know. Even Paul said they don't know. Now, the Lord gave his disciples a commission: go into all the world, preach the glad tidings to all the creation, beginning at Jerusalem. And we do know the first Christian company was in Jerusalem. We would have left out Jerusalem, but not the Lord. But he says, "Forgive them." This was a day of forgiveness. As Christians, we say, "Yes, we have believed. Help our unbelief." Because we feel so failing. We have not yet reached perfection. There will be perfection later. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. What a wonderful thing that will be when we put on incorruptibility. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is incorruptible. And he was here. This was him on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, but making it available for everyone, whosoever will may come to the Saviour. It's calling today, making it easy for everybody. But of course, then along came the Apostle Paul. He was an insolent, overbearing man, a difficult guy, one you wouldn't want to have too much to do with. Whether Christians tried to convert him, I don't know. I'm afraid I wouldn't have done. I had one person in Scotland who put me off. He was very aggressive. But what can you do with somebody who's aggressive? That was what Paul was like. Insolent, overbearing chap. I guess the disciples steered clear of him. So what happened? The Lord did it himself. That's very wonderful. The Lord sent his own into the world to preach. Can you hear? The Lord sent his own into the world to preach. But if they found it too difficult, "Lo, I am with you all the days to the completion of the age." The Lord was there with them. And Paul, the Lord came in relation to Saul, a light above the brightness of the sun at noonday. The Lord knew how to affect him. I don't think he could have been affected any other way. The Lord knows what to do. The Lord knew how to affect Saul. It was effective, because Saul says, "What will you have me to do?" I'll tell you what to do. he was going to be a man who could be used by the Lord in a remarkable way. So our desire in the gospel preaching is not just that I might hear the preacher's voice, but might hear the voice of the call of Jesus. Jesus is calling you. Will you not come? Just listen for that voice. It was a little light above the brightness of the sun at noonday. It struck Paul down. He was devastated with that light. Others didn't hear the voice, but he did all right. Others only saw the light. But he heard the voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What an eye-opener for Saul. He thought he was doing God's will. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I suppose Saul didn't know what he was doing. We'd have thought he did. Difficult, harsh, overbearing man who was doing his own will. And yet the Lord is prepared to say he didn't know what he was doing. When he was converted, he said, "I did it ignorantly, in unbelief." Well, that's quite interesting. The Lord is so ready to forgive tonight. Mm-hmm. He's ready to forgive anyone who comes to him. Yes, we all may feel a bit washed out, a bit unable to do things. We won't have a perfect setup until the Lord comes. We have to say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." We are waiting for this mortal to put on immortality, this corruptible to put on incorruptibility. Now, mortality is something that a man can have, I think. But incorruptibility cannot. Incorruptibility is God. The Lord put on incorruptibility. He was incorruptible. You couldn't corrupt the Lord Jesus. Ever you did, you couldn't corrupt him. Yes, he was immortal, God only wise, but he was incorruptible. Satan came, tried to corrupt the Lord. Didn't work. The Lord is incorruptible. I just think we need to think about that. God is sending out a message. The Lord is calling you. May you hear the call tonight. The call that is distinctive and special for you. It was distinctive and special for Saul. He was on the ground. He was smashed. Somebody said he was smashed. "What will you have me to do, Lord?" From then on, he was a subject man to his Saviour. Subject to the Saviour. He was before, insolent, overbearing man. So may we all have a sense of the Lord speaking to us. Speaking to us in view of our blessing. What blessing Saul had. He had to go through a lot. But he went through all these things. Flying colours. He went through all these things as having a link with Jesus. Maybe we'll have a link with him tonight. Maybe we know what it is to believe and then to ask for help. "I believe, Lord. Help thou mine unbelief." And then in the glory, we should have a body of glory like his. We should know exactly as we are known. There will be no lack then. So may we just be encouraged together. For his name's sake.
Amen.